The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Jesus said, "Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." We sing our next song. Please be seated. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope it was a good one. But these kinds of things, these holiday things, can be a little complicated, amen? I mean, you know, families are gifts, but families are complicated things, amen? I mean, you know, it's fascinating how the holiday season just kind of makes everything, it's got to be perfect. Will we all be able to get along okay? Will we have to talk about that one issue? Oh, I don't want to go there. Will, you know, Uncle Fred drink too much? Or will Aunt Sally talk about the things that no one wants to talk about too much? And, you know, families are complicated things. And yet the good news is that God is in the business of helping complicated things. Very complicated things. Our Old Testament reading very eloquently explains how God can handle really complicated things. And the language that is being used is the way Isaiah liked to use language. He uses these wonderful metaphors to paint these wonderful pictures of what God can do that can help families with their complicated lives and their challenging interactions and their relationships. But hopefully you had a pretty good Thanksgiving, even though maybe some challenges were there, like they are always there. God's in the business of helping. You know, as much as we live in a world right now where there's a lot of things we wonder about and we stress over, certainly there's a battle out there, but there's also a battle in here. There's a battle in here. And that's what makes these kinds of celebrations a bit complicated. And yet God is in the business of making all the difference in the world. And at the beginning of a brand new year, we celebrate what God can do, also understanding that when the Lord comes back, He'll do it completely. He will fulfill it all. This is where we talk about the now, not yet of what God is doing in our lives. He is settling us. He's teaching us how to be people of peace, how to be a people of love. And our meditation this morning is titled, "The Way of Love." And again, Isaiah uses amazing language. Here's how it goes. "Out of Zion shall go the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and all this will happen in the latter days." Well, guess what days we're in? In the latter days. It's one of those technical terms in the scriptures that needs to be connected with in the last days. which is the New Testament era, and God is doing this now in your life and my life. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Wow, that's quite a picture. And is that what we're seeing? No. And yet this is the work that God is in. So, how many of you have swords? How many of you have spears? Are you beating them into different kinds of instruments? Well, just because Isaiah is using this kind of language, don't miss the point. You are, and I am, heavily armed. God has blessed us with all kinds of skills, knowledge, and abilities. It starts when we're little. But oftentimes we use our words to hurt, to run people through. And when we realize we're kind of strong and capable, we even use our hands and our bodies. You and I have been incredibly blessed with skills, knowledge, and abilities. But how often do we use what we have as weapons? And who gets the bulk of it? Where does it take place the most? Around the family table, in the connections we have with our family. It's a battle out there, yes, and it's a battle in here as well. And yet God has given us all kinds of skills, knowledge, and abilities to be forged into instruments that help the people in our lives, that serve one another. This is the work that he's in teaching us the way of love. When I was a little kid, you know, I didn't hear my parents cuss, but I used all the words I could to hurt my sisters. How about you with your siblings? And when we didn't like our mom, we would say hurtful things like, and I repent, I believe the gospel. But we'd say things like, when you get old, we're not going to cook for you. And she'd say, that'd be fine. And but the things that we can do now can be pretty devastating to each other. And it's in those places, in those realizations, that God is at work in your life and my life, teaching us the way of love. You see, these things that God has poured into our lives actually get retooled from the way we naturally want to use them. And this is how. As we realize how we misuse our thoughts, misuse our words, misuse our actions, as we repent of the misuse of those things and believe in the gospel, Jesus is retooling us. He's training us. And that's how we're taking our swords and our spears, and we're, quote, beating them into plowshares and pruning hooks. Because in your life and my life, warring with others isn't as rewarding as it used to be. We'd rather love. We'd rather learn from and walk with than always have hills we got to battle on and speak words that end up hurting more than helping. How far along are you on that forging process? How far along am I? Perhaps we have to say it depends on the day. Depends on the hitches. challenges with finances, what the neighbors have done lately, what kind of news we've heard. Isn't it amazing how we realize God has made us the objects of his love and his grace, and he's retooling us? But there's so much work to be done. And we call this the now, not yet of the season of Advent. We certainly have been changed. God has given us so many gifts. And yet, why is it we want to use them in ways that don't serve him and don't serve each other? And that's our sin problem. And yet, this is where God is at work. And when you find yourself maybe getting ready for Thanksgiving or wondering what's going to happen at Christmas, and you want to be able to nail it this time, there's a place to go. And there are maybe in your life, there are places where you realize, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from this and that. And boy, I can't believe I used to, but I'm so glad you love me. But maybe there are places where you find yourself saying, I can't believe I thought that again. I can't believe I said that to my neighbor. Lord, I'm so sick of this. I don't want to be this way. I mean, you're really trying to hammer it into something that's going to be useful, but it still kind of takes back the old form. And so Jesus wants us to keep growing in our skills, knowledge, and abilities, and this is how it works. It's a fascinating portion of Scripture. I'm going to read some of it, and then we'll read some together. Jesus is going about the Judean countryside. He's facing some challenges with the religious elite, the ones that think they're better than others. And then he says this. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. This is one of his favorite technical terms for us. He calls us little children. And it's really a term of endearment. The temptation to be offended by it perhaps is there, but receive it. I mean, let's be transparent. There are ways in your life and my life where we can be an awfully little childish kid every once in a while. Amen? And there are times when we feel so battered and smashed and broken that we want to sit in our Father's lap as a little kid and say, just hold me. I don't feel sorry for myself. I just need you to care for me as your child. So it's a beautiful term. Jesus goes on, yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then Jesus says this. Let's read it together. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise. You know, there are things in your life you're so focused on, you want to accomplish, you want to do in service to others, and you just feel like you're worn out by it. It's not working. Well, here's the deal. Take it to the Lord. This is part of the forging process in God showing us the way of love, by showing our dependence as little kids on what Christ can do. The promise is that he'll give rest. The promise is that he can help like no one else. It goes on. Let's read it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's such hope in this promise. He's a gentle teacher. He's a humble man. Our Savior, our King, risen and reigning. He's willing to work with us and teach us. He promises to give rest. And maybe there are places where you wonder, well, Lord, will you just lay it before him? Lord, I'm stressed out with, you know, people, places, things. What am I supposed to do with my health or finances or the relationships I have? Lay it out. and trust that he will teach. I mean, we all have a lot to learn. And Jesus has a lot to teach, and he loves to do it. You know, the experts are saying the best way to avoid losing your ability to think is to learn something new. Boy, life gives us an awful lot of opportunities for that every day. Amen? And you can talk with the Lord. Lay it before him. You know, the things that wear us out are oftentimes the things that we love. The people, the places. Lay it before the Lord. This is how the way of love is forged in us as Jesus lovingly cares for us. And it makes a difference. There are places in your life where you just live out your identity as a little child of God. You've got it. You do it not in the strength of your flesh, but in the strength of the Spirit. You have it because the Spirit's at work within you. God's at work within you. And then there are places in your life, my life, where we just feel like, why is the flesh trying to make this work? I need to go with the Lord. And yet the Lord is in those places, honing us and helping us so that we can grow in our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with the people in our lives. What does that look like? Paul explained it this way. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You're not on your own. And as much as your sinful flesh wants to mess with you and mess up your life, trust that God is at work within you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. John the Apostle wants us to heed that and to take comfort in that and to know that God's at work within you to will and do his good pleasure. How many ways does he keep it a secret from you? Trust God, not the outcome. And just know that he's at work. Paul goes on. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Oh boy, so where we find ourselves grumbling and disputing, and we realize that that's repentance. As we talk with the Lord about the things we're grumbling and disputing about, that's seeking his rest. That he promises to give. And as we live that way, we shine as lights in a crooked and twisted world. We bear testimony. Of course, Paul writes this to the church in Philippi, and he's in jail. I suppose some would say, see how that worked out for Paul? Will there be a little element of that in your life and my life as well? Sure. But because we've been forged by God's love in Christ, we realize it's part of the territory. And we live in relationship with Jesus nonetheless. Not that it's always easy, but it's certainly the best way. Paul goes on. Holding fast to the word of life, that's Jesus, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, you know, he's in jail because of what he sought to do among them as just one example. I am glad and rejoice with you all. As far as Paul's concerned, it's worth all the heartache. All the harassment, all the abuse and misunderstanding, because it's about living in love. It's the way of love. The way of love is not easy, but it's the way that God would have us wait for him as we burn a candle, longing for his return. And then Paul says, likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. He wants them to rejoice also. Because that's what it's about. As we experience the love of God, as we see how the love of God changes our lives, teaches us to use our skills, knowledge, and abilities in service to love, we rejoice in what God has done for us through his Son. Understanding this, that the way of love is forged in us by the love of Jesus. And he's at work again today in your life and my life. He'll travel with us into this day and into this week, working in us, working through us. So much of it is a mystery and it's a miracle. If you would decorate it, I would decorate it like Christmas. Not that we always feel that bright and shiny, but you shine as light. You shine as light in the love that God has for you in Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.